The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's 2021, everybody. Everyone is on their hotness and fitness journey. And one of the biggest aspects of that lifestyle is eating healthy and meal prepping. Most people have no idea where to start. They're overwhelmed by options and they don't care what meals suit them best for the goals they want to achieve. Luckily, Prepped and Ready has that solution. This episode of the Binge Boys podcast is brought to you by Prepped and Ready. Prepped and Ready Meals delivers high quality and fresh meals with health and fitness in mind, with a variety of healthy, low calorie, but delicious meals. They can cater to anyone's personal needs. If you live in the greater Atlanta area and you're interested in meal prep made simple, you can go to PreppedReadyMeals.com and use code BINGE15 at checkout for 15% off your first time order. Going on, everybody. It's time for the Binge Boys podcast, episode 231. What's going on, everybody? It's the Matt, the Logan, and the Tanner show.
Woo!
Bang.
What's up?
Happy Monday, fellas. How we doing?
Doing good, man.
It's Monday.
We don't have a major release this week, but I was really hyped for this episode for some reason. Maybe I'm just in podcast mode.
It is podcast day, as you declared on Twitter.com.
I did declare on Twitter.com that it is podcast day. Podcast evening, better that. But this podcast is just the first of them, baby. It's podcast. It's just always podcast day. So if you're joining us for the first time and you're wondering, what is podcast day? Well, keep listening and eventually you'll understand. And if you still don't go to head over to Circling Back and listen to them talk about podcast day and or podcast week rather, and they'll break it down for you. But if you're a longtime listener, welcome back. If this is your first time, welcome. If it is your first time, indeed, the premise is each week my co-host and I break down the hottest in TV and movies, and every Thursday we do a bonus episode of the show entitled The Run Through. This week, Tanner and I ran through The 40-Year-Old Virgin. That'll be uploading on this Thursday. On those episodes, in case you're wondering what the run-through is, it's where I'm joined by Tanner and Matt, or Tanner by himself, or Megan and Emily, or anyone who wants to dive in on a particular movie or TV series and break it down element by element and give an in-depth review. First things first, head over to Instagram at Binge Boys Podcast. That's where you get our announcements, our top five lists, our reviews, and more. Next thing, go to iTunes and make sure you've left that 5-star rating as well as a short review. It helps us out a lot, and it helps us grow the show. Tanner.
Huh.
What'd you get into this weekend?
I worked. I was having trouble figuring that out for a second.
Well, last weekend you didn't work, did you? Or no. Not much, at least not as much as you usually did.
Yeah, and yesterday I watched something pretty damn tragic on TV happen.
I'm guessing it was football related.
Yeah, what the hell was that? I'm a Packer fan. What was that?
Is Aaron Rodgers done?
No, you already know he's gonna wake up. He'll wake up and everyone will be like, oh my God, he's so good. You know how it always goes. Same bullshit.
I don't know.
It happens all the time. Every year this shit happens. This stuff happens. But that was tragic. I spent the better part of my night just thinking about what the freak just happened. But yeah, that's what I got into. Tears and video games. So what about you guys?
What did I do Friday? Oh, Friday I went to the Braves game. Saw them play the Marlins. Got some Dippin' Dots.
Oh. Of course,
as you do.
Oh,
I dipped the dot.
How is the future?
Dippin' Dots is going to be the next company I reach out to try to secure some kind of sponsorship deal. That would be. Can you imagine if they're like, we won't pay you. We're just going to send you unlimited Dippin' Dots.
Dude.
Bring it on.
You want to know how they weathered the pandemic?
How?
Their technology to make their like little balls just requires like an intense freeze like of ice cream. So they were actually monumental in transporting the vaccine since they could keep things insanely cold.
Wait, actually?
No yes. Way. This wow, is big that's facts. Awesome. Yeah. No, so there's not cool. a joke here. It's just facts.
That's wow. So cool. Dippin' Dots making moves.
I yeah.
You're going to say something stupid.
No. Yeah, I thought there was a punchline coming. But hey, who knew that Dippin' Dots was behind transporting the vaccine? That's big.
Dippin' Dots.
So I went to the Braves game and I got some Dippin' Dots. Mm-hmm. Saturday, I had a day that I haven't had in such a long time where I sat in that cushion from like 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Hell yeah.
And I just mobbed on that couch all day, took a little snooze. Then I went to trivia night, got my trivia off on Saturday night with Theron and some of his closest friends. Shouts to Plain and Simple.
Shouts.
And Sunday I did work all day. But other than that, man, it was a pretty groovy weekend. What about you, Matt?
Sounds like it was a movie.
Mine was groovy as well. On a Friday, headed up to the greater Chicagoland area once again. This time stayed with girlfriend's friend Lauren, also my friend now, I guess. Shout out to Lauren. Then on Saturday, we went downtown to see my baseball Giants absolutely mollywop the Chicago Cubs.
Yes!
Dude,
screw the Cubs.
They're just going, man. The Giants, they won again Sunday. Dude,
they're incredible. I'm scared. White Sox have some serious competition in the playoffs this year.
Dude, they're going to get – they're going to run into each other at the World Series.
I would hope so, but I don't know. We're pretty young, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but we'll see.
But then the Giants have the exact opposite problem. They're very old. But, yeah, that was basically it. Then just came home Sunday. Oh, did a really, really hard escape room on Sunday.
Oh, fun.
It was like Jack the Ripper themed. So it was historically accurate as I listened to podcasts on the way home to confirm. But like there was just so much reading and you had to like crawl through like a fireplace to get like between two rooms. It was just too much, man. We were not going to get out even with it was like, you could tell it was like the person watching us like was just rooting for us the whole time. They'd give us clues without us even asking for it, because they were just like, dude, these people have no idea what they're doing. But
it is good since you are here. I'm assuming you escaped.
Technically no, but literally yes. I did escape room. But yeah, that was it, man. So pretty good weekend. I'd say that for the three of us, this weekend was a sports movie.
Oh yeah.
Sounds like it was a sports movie.
Depressing one, but it was good.
Nah. I had the high. I had
the high. Yeah, you did. For me, I spent last night crying and holding onto my pillow really hard, just drooling all over
Dude.
It.
Dude.
It was so sad.
That's
but anyways.
That's the life of a fan that is just watching his team just fail.
I've watched every single game since 2010.
Wow.
That's commitment.
That was the
very
worst
specific.
Game I've ever seen. Worst.
Wow.
Never seen him play that bad in my life.
Even back a few years ago struggling?
Nope. Never seen him play that bad.
What a surprise. You started watching the season. They ended up
winning
the Super Bowl.
I was young. Come on. I was a little kid. I didn't care about sports until dad was like,
hey, they're going to win the Super Bowl. I'm like, oh, shit.
No, I'm the same way with the Chicago Hockey Blackhawks. So.
Oh, yeah. You're a Blackhawk fan? Me too.
Yes.
Hell yeah. We can
love
agree
that
there.
For us. Yeah. Anyway. Major motion picture.
Let's go.
For more of that, check out Dude, What About Sports?
Oh, another plug.
Yeah.
Oh, no one's doing two different podcast plugs in the same segment, but I guess we are.
We're doing it.
Because it is podcast day.
It's podcast day.
We could go into the headlines, I guess, but headlines this week, we didn't really get any major news. However, we did get a bunch of trailers dropping.
Hell yeah, we did.
The only piece of news that I will make comment on aired just about an hour ago, and it says that HBO Max is already developing a spinoff series, another spinoff series for The Batman, and it's going to be all about The Penguin.
Ooh.
So another example of HBO, or I guess Warner Brothers, getting a little excited about a character in their movie like they did with Peacemaker. Like, Peacemaker's getting his own series at HBO Max, and they greenlit that even before the first trailer came out for Suicide Squad. So they must be really confident in these new slate of DC movies.
Yes!
I mean, didn't this also happen before Justice League and Dawn of Justice, and then we're still kind of waiting to see the rollout from that?
Yeah, I think so. So that's the only piece of like cool news, but everything else was a trailer. Wow, it's like almost like we are at a movie because we're about to just go into a bunch of trailers.
Yeah.
But first up, we got a trailer. I think we got this at like maybe even Monday night last week, so we missed it on our episode, but it was a trailer for Red Notice, a movie that stars The Rock as well as Ryan Reynolds and Gal Gadot.
Ooh.
Says Red Notice is an upcoming American action thriller film that is going to air on Netflix on November 12th, 2021.
Hell yeah.
Premise is an Interpol issued Red Notice is a global alert to hunt and capture the world's most wanted. But when a daring heist brings together the FBI's top profile, The Rock, and two rival criminals, Gal Gadot and Ryan Reynolds, there's no telling what will happen.
Netflix is doing it.
I think this will be solid.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm expecting major movie alert here. I don't know if this is top 10 material, but I think it'll probably be pretty fun to watch.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, you put those three in a room together, that's just hella charisma, physical, you know, talking and
hotness.
Gal Gadot.
I'm sure there's a lot of comedic relief with The Rock and Ryan Reynolds, and maybe even Gal Gadot. I don't know. I'm not sure of her comedy chops or not, but
they'll do it.
Yeah, apparently this was going to be released in theaters under Universal Pictures, but Netflix bought them out on July 8th of 2019 because they were so intrigued by the project. I've learned recently, y'all, that when they make movies, they almost just, unless the director is under a contract with a studio, it's almost like an auction house. Like, yeah. They're just like, boom, we're going to make a script for an action movie starring Robert Downey Jr. and The Rock. And like Paramount might be like, I'll give it $10 million, and Netflix will be like $15 million. And I've recently learned that it's like a cutting room floor for studios that are like competing for franchises and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's
same thing cool. Same thing with like TV shows. Like the writers will put together the script and they'll go around to the different people. And if you can get them bidding against each other, you're in business.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All you need is two studios that want your movie and you're good to go.
Right. Well, really one, but two is good for money.
True.
Oh, yeah.
Good for money. So you guys cool with this movie? Are you guys excited? Not excited? In the middle?
Yeah. In the middle, closer to excited. I'm not like, you know, setting an alarm to make sure I do not miss day one of this. But yeah, it'll be cool.
I'm always excited for a Ryan Reynolds flick.
Yeah,
cool. He's always good, no matter what.
I agree, for the most part.
Yeah.
Free guy. I interacted with a customer last night at work, and she told me she had just seen Free Guy, and she loved it. So I must have been out. I must have been out of it, man. I might need to go back.
Yeah.
I still want to see it. I'd still be willing to see it.
I feel like that's one, like, you've already given it the money. Just wait for it to be like on a streaming service. So I catch it on TV or something.
I'll probably do that. Maybe we'll go back and run through Free Guy. That'd be fun.
That would be a good idea.
But until then, they dropped a trailer last week. I think maybe Wednesday, Thursday time frame called Don't Look Up. And it's directed by Adam McKay, worldwide famous director. And I really don't know much about the movie. I just wanted to acknowledge the cast here. Are you ready, Tanner?
Yep.
We've got Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah. I've seen this.
Jennifer Lawrence, Jonah Hill, Tyler Perry, Timothy Chalamet, Ariana Grande, Kate Blanchett, Meryl Streep. This is going to be a movie.
Yeah.
The Wolf of Wall Street, part two.
Yeah, it says that Don't Look Up is an upcoming American science fiction black comedy film written, produced, and directed by Adam McKay. Film stars Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence as two low-level astronomers attempting via a media tour to warn mankind about an approaching comet that will destroy Earth. So this comes off as very Adam McKay-ish.
Yeah.
Like, Adam McKay makes comedies, but he also makes a damn good drama, too. This feels like a dark comedy.
Yeah, I
agree.
It felt sort of Coen Brothers, too. Like, yeah. Given, like, the sort of seriousness, but also how goofy everyone was acting, that was sort of the nose of the hex. Yeah, I couldn't tell what's going to be... if it's going to be a dark comedy or a comedy with that's like farcing, like something serious.
Right. Because we all know that Leonardo DiCaprio is big environmentalist.
Right.
So it's almost funny that they got him to star in this movie, because if they're going to be warning everybody that, like, you know, I saw the trailer and they're talking about climate change and they're talking about all these different factors that could have possibly impacted the way that the comet will hit Earth, blah, blah, blah. It's just funny that they got Leonardo for this. But I'm intrigued. It says here says the movie's supposed to get a theatrical release on December 10th, and then it will stream on Netflix on the 24th, Christmas Eve.
Oh,
so we'll probably catch it in December or early January then. But it looks promising. I think it's going to be good.
Same with that. That Don't Panic one with Gyllenhaal. That looks good too.
Oh, I did see that.
Chilling.
I mixed up Don't Panic. Oh, and then Don't Look Up. That's why I keep mixing them up.
Next up, we've got something I know that's near and dear to Tanner and I's heart. We got a trailer, a full-blown trailer for Dexter: New Blood, which is the continuation miniseries that is set to premiere on November 7th, 2021. Miniseries will serve as a revival and finale of the original series that will air on Showtime. It is set 10 years after the events of the 8th season finale. Tanner.
I'm hype as shit. It looks awesome.
I was not that... I can't say that I wasn't excited, but I wasn't jumping up and down. I was like, oh, this is an obvious money grab. But seeing the trailer, I am all in.
Woo!
I am all in. I am excited. We're gonna have to do Dexter nights.
Yes, we are. I'm coming right there. That you see that little square right there on the far left of the couch? That's where I'm sitting.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
We're gonna do Dexter nights, and it's gonna be awesome.
Oh, caca!
Yep, exactly.
Turner.
So, not much else to discuss. We're hyped for it, and they released a trailer for it, and we got the release date officially November 7th, 2021. So got like a month out,
but still it's you're right. Oh my god,
absolutely.
Damn. Okay, cool. I feel better. It's less than
what
it's never mind. No, it's not. It's September. It's not October.
What was the noise?
I thought it was less than a month for a second.
Next, next for the two trailers that people want us to discuss. First up, we got a trailer for The Matrix Resurrections. Matrix Resurrections is an upcoming American science fiction action film produced, co-written, and directed by a woman, Lana Wachowski.
Yep.
It is the sequel to The Matrix Revolutions from 2003 and the fourth installment in the Matrix film series overall. Most of the original cast is reprising their roles. The movie is going to come out on HBO Max on, well, what? This makes no sense. Oh, yeah. Sorry. December 22nd, it will be released as a part of HBO Max's plan to release a movie in theaters, as well as, I keep saying HBO, Warner Brothers plan to release a movie on HBO Max and in theaters simultaneously. So, Matt, well, actually, first, before I get to Matt, Tanner, where are you on The Matrix? Have you seen them?
Not one.
I've not seen one either.
We should take care of that.
Yeah, I really do want to. I in fact, I added them to my list last night on HBO Max. They are on HBO Max.
Well, then I definitely will watch them at some point before it comes out.
So besides the fact that it looks pretty badass, Matt, where's your level of excitement at here?
It's pretty high, but I would be lying if I said I remembered much beyond the first Matrix. So that's kind of important if they're going to continue the storyline. But yeah, it's high. It looked like there were some definite sort of like homages to the earlier ones, like the iconic, like, you know, lean backwards through all the bullets thing. Sorry, I'm doing visual stuff on a podcast. but yeah, it looks cool. I learned via my Twitter feed that A, I still follow Neil Patrick Harris, and B, that he is in this movie as the therapist. So yeah, that's it's pretty cool. Should be good. Definitely will brush up on the later Matrix. Maybe we can even talk about them here, just kind of like do like a pre-show before we watch the fourth one. Just
almost
kinda...
thinking
I'm down.
Almost thinking it would make sense to run through the original trilogy.
Sure.
Maybe the week of or something. Yeah.
Special releases.
Yeah, absolutely. So in fact, before we even move on, I'm going to write that down.
Bet. Yes.
Because
I know they're good. I've been told 1,000 times to watch them.
Yeah, that would be a good one. So yeah, we're going to write here. We're going to do The Matrix. Should we do the first one or the original trilogy? I mean, we got to watch them all anyway, right, yeah. Tanner?
Yeah. Oh, I definitely want to get brushed up on all of it so I know the whole lingo, the whole lore, everything. Well, okay. I won't enjoy the movie at all if I don't understand anything, you know?
Yeah.
Well, duh.
Cool. Yeah. Exciting. Yeah. I'm excited to learn, because this is one of those movies for me personally, I'm sure you too, Tanner, that you've heard about forever and you just never have gone into it. Well, now I have an excuse to get into it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't want to set the expectations too high for the first one, but it held up a lot better than I kind of expected.
Mm. Okay.
Also funny you say that. I've heard nothing outstanding about the sequels. I've heard the first one is the one, you know, but the second two are
It like completes the arc in a way that like makes sense, but beyond that it just doesn't sort of stick with didn't stick with me as much. I enjoyed it while I was watching them, but they just didn't really leave much of a lasting impact. It was just kind of confusing, if I'm being honest.
Gotcha. Either way, excited to check them out and become a fan of yet another franchise. Hopefully.
Yeah.
I hope I like it. I'm sure I will. Me too. We like a bunch of weird shit.
Yeah.
And lastly, in terms of trailer talk, we got a surprise trailer today for Hawkeye, Disney Plus series in the MCU, starring, of course, Jeremy Renner, Hailee Steinfeld, Vera Farmiga. The list goes on.
And on.
Hawkeye is a upcoming TV miniseries created for Disney Plus based on Marvel Comics. I can't speak today, bro. Marvel Comics characters Clint Barton and Kate Bishop, both who use the mantle of Hawkeye, the fifth MCU Disney Plus series. And it says it takes place right after the events of Avengers Endgame. And the story here is, while in New York City post-blip, Clint Barton must work together with young Kate Bishop to confront enemies from his past time as Ronin in order to get back to his family in time for Christmas. Matt, upon watching this trailer today, where are you with Hawkeye?
Well, Hawkeye, I'm mid, but for Rogers the Musical, I am big hype.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it looks pretty good. I think I'm sort of calling my shot here. I think the main conflict is between Clint being pulled to, you know, right his wrongs, but also be there for his family. I think that's a unique conflict that we haven't really seen from the MCU. And I think a show is really a good way to, do that, just sort of I've discussed. I feel like the mini series, the limited series, is a really good format, especially for sort of character studies that they're doing now. So yeah, dude, I'm hype. What about you, Tanner?
Hype always. It's Marvel. I mean, you know, it's gonna be good. Like in its own way. You know, all the shows have been great in their own way. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and plus, you know, he always kind of got slept on. And
just like sideline kind
And he never really got to see a whole, like, I don't know, like how he really,
almost like a Black Widow situation. Yeah, they kind of just toss him to the side.
Yep. He's not like, because he can't shoot lasers out of his hands or stuff like that. But I'm pumped. Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of badass fight scenes. A lot of
yeah. Hopefully more after Shang-Chi, man. Yeah, I'm still hype. I'm still riding that hype, man. Shang-Chi was great. I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah. That's how you know.
But in terms of Hawkeye, man, I'm not on that train right now. I am not yet on board. I am not all aboard the Hawkeye train. Listen, my excitement is mid right now. Like, of course I'm excited for the next Marvel project. Of course I'm excited to see this Hawkeye show, but the trailer didn't sell me.
It's really? Kinda, yeah. You know what? I kind of feel that way a little bit.
I mean, I just think that it wasn't the vibe I was expecting. Like, the trailer was very upbeat, very happy, very Christmassy. I just wasn't expecting that. So maybe it just threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
I'm almost thinking maybe a similar situation to Free Guy. Maybe I just wasn't expecting what I saw. I'm very excited for Hailee Steinfeld. I think she's awesome. I'm sure she's going to take over the mantle as Hawkeye in the MCU going forward. That's the rumor. You know, as they kind of write off the old Avengers and they bring in like the newer, younger cast, I think she's going to be a part of that.
Yep.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know. I'm just not 100% there yet, but there are a lot of elements I am intrigued about, like Vera Farmiga. I'm really excited about her. She's a great actress. Excited to see Jeremy Renner in his own tale, you know, rather than being just a side character in a big Avengers movie. I'm excited to see that. But as a whole, I'm not there yet. I'm probably around a 6.5 out of 10 on like excitement level. But I'm still ready
more
for teaser. It.
Give him a few more trailers.
Yeah, give me another trailer, give me some more action shots and I'm in. But you can't deny how badass that shot was of somebody throwing a Molotov cocktail at him.
He
breaks the window and catches it and throws it back. Like,
and he's on the phone with his wife. Hold on 1 second. Catches it. So cool. He's kind of a smart ass, so I think it'll be a whole lot of that type of stuff, you know?
Yeah. So I am in I am in lingo right now. We will see. We will see. Cautiously optimistic about Hawkeye. I just don't want to get my hopes super up, just like I did with Loki. And I kind of just fell about Loki after it ended. We'll see.
I loved it.
Looking back still, I don't know about Loki, man. I just think it was okay. There was a few really, really good moments, personally.
This is true.
But other than that, I just found
We didn't see Owen Wilson on a jet ski.
I was going to say about this trailer, though, even with the shoe of Yelena yet to drop, you're still
on it. If Elena pops up, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
But we're done with the trailers. A lot of trailer talk today.
Hell yeah. I love
a good trailer. I love when trailers drop. I love it when we talk about a few trailers at once.
Me too.
But we'll keep it on the MCU train and we'll transition right into what if ... zombies. This is the one that was almost heavily advertised. Even from the get-go, they released a promo image, I'm pretty sure, of like zombie Captain America or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we finally got it. Tanner, what'd you think?
I thought it was the best one so far. 100%. Really? It was great. I mean, when it ended, though, I was like, what the fuck? It's over? But it makes sense because, you know, we're going full spoilers, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it makes total sense because Thanos, you know, is now infected with the Infinity Gauntlet. Now it's freaking impossible, you know?
Well, yeah, and they're letting him know exactly where to find the last one, so.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good little twist.
What if, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, in a good callback to the previous one, that, like, there is kind of the critical time or critical events or whatever, like Thanos getting all the stones.
Yeah. And Vision, that was quite the turn. I didn't think he was capable of horrific shit like that. So I guess he is.
Yeah, I liked it.
I did too. And Paul Rudd's Ant-Man. That was freaking funny.
But, you know, especially with the cape, gave me big Futurama vibes.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the same thing.
Who shit when Spider-Man came in? I did.
I didn't.
Matt, are you still on the same train as last week?
With what?
With just thinking, eh?
I thought this was a good one. I thought this was like a return to form since they kind of had the big ensemble cast and sort of a unique combination of it and sort of had like good reasons for like the configuration that they did. Who was the random dude? Was he from something?
That was he was Ant-Man's crew, like his old crew that he used to rob people with.
I was wondering the same thing because they never really addressed who he was.
The one who wasn't Michael Peña or T.I.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah,
wait,
I thought he was
so Polka Dot Man?
Yes, Polka Dot Man. Wait.
The actor that plays Polka Dot Man. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the same guy.
I think you're right. Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm with Matt and Tanner here. I really enjoyed this one. I thought it was a fun time.
I
like that they don't feel like they have to explain much because when Hulk hits the ground and like there's zombies, he's just like, oh, there's zombies. And it's like, oh.
Yeah.
I agree. I thought this one it was better than last week's. Yeah. I really liked this one a lot. And I'm just a big zombies guy, so that, as we know from my Army of the Dead review, I'm on board. And I thought it was really cool that even though they were zombies, they still had, like when you see clips of like the zombie Cap or the zombie Tony, like they would still like use their powers or whatever to fight. Like I thought that was pretty cool. It's a cool concept thinking of like zombie Thanos still having the thought process to be able to like want to collect the Infinity Stones and still snap his fingers.
Mm-hmm.
So
but I guess that begs the question, how did he become a zombie if like his minions or whatever who came down that fought the Hulk were normal, or they might, because they got infected, I think.
They did.
So then he probably brought him back up and they bit him, even though he had 5 Infinity Stones? Whatever. Unexpected.
But yeah.
Still cool. Still cool.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I do. Yeah, cool concept. With you, Logan, too.
I liked what Matt said too. No, it's all good. I like what Matt said too about they kind of brought the ensemble back with all the cast and they had a lot of heroes together. I think the Wanda scene was really cool with her coming out and being a badass zombie too. That was really cool.
That was terrifying.
Yeah, just a lot of really cool elements like the Paul Rudd, like his head being in a, like they're really embracing the weird in this show, which is cool.
What we wanted.
Yeah. So I was a fan.
I'm trying to confirm this, but it really felt like this was an episode where you can tell they could not. Oh, it was Evangeline Lilly. It just didn't sound like her. Yeah. Someone else. I thought else.
So too.
Okay, and it wasn't. I thought I could tell that it wasn't Tom Holland.
Yeah, that was a. I read why. It's because it could have breached the Sony contract or something. It just goes back to Sony being a bitch.
I think. Hey, chill. They're giving us Spider-Man 3.
Whatever. It's on PS5. Yeah. Bullshit.
No, we're talking Spider-Man.
Oh, I thought you were
like,
talking about that.
No Way Home. But I'm thinking. I think I read somewhere too that yeah, I think their agreement said that Tom could appear in like live action Avengers projects, but other than that, he was a no go. Yeah. Something like that.
The guy kind of sounded like him a little bit at the beginning. I was like, is it? And no, he wasn't. But
they probably tried to get it somewhat close.
That's what the thing that I read said. Oh, and he kind of sounds like Tom Holland too. And I'm like, eh. Well, I don't know.
Whatever.
Maybe to the average fan. I was gonna say the blind fan.
Yeah, chances are the blind fan isn't watching What If.
They have like the audio description tracks like on a lot of Netflix shows.
Yeah,
that's true. So yeah, What If? I don't know. I haven't seen. Usually by now on a Monday they usually drop what the the next episode is, but maybe with the Hawkeye release, they kind of postponed that until next week.
They just had like one image on IMDb when I was just looking. I think this is the one where Killmonger saves Stark from the trailer.
Oh.
It's just the image of I love peace.
Okay, bet. Then I guess we'll check it out on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So... Also, I forgot to say it at the beginning of the episode, dang it, but we're about to talk about Worth, movie starring Michael Keaton. But obviously this last weekend was 9/11, and just shout out to all the people that are still affected by 9/11 today. It's just a bad ordeal that had to go down, unfortunately, 20 years ago. I can't believe it's been 20 years, man.
Yeah. Crazy.
And it still has the implications and effects on society that it did when it just happened a year later. So shout out to all the families, the firefighters, the first responders, the innocent civilians that were caught in the crossfire. And there's a lot of really cool documentaries out right now about 9/11. So I'd go check them out. Yeah. If you don't know enough about the story, go check it out. I got plenty of information on Netflix and on Apple TV Plus. So, RIP to all of the people that had to suffer in that horrible day. But
it pisses me off.
We got to watch a 9/11-ish movie. It takes place because of 9/11, but not necessarily about the event itself. Worth is a movie that stars the Michael Keaton.
Woo-hoo.
And let me tell you about the movie here. Worth was... I think it was weird, man. The movie was, I think, made in 2020.
I think it was like some sort of... I looked it up last week when we were talking about doing it. It's something with... It was technically released at like a festival, but like for the broad people, it was released, you know, this past week.
Interesting.
I didn't know. Very that. Interesting.
Sorry to step on your toes there.
No, you're good. Worth is rated PG-13. It was released in 2020, but they just put it on Netflix last week or whatever, kind of as a brand new release. Starring, of course, Michael Keaton, Amy Ryan, Stanley Tucci, Moore, directed by Sarah Colangelo.
Yeah.
And this movie is about an attorney in Washington, D.C. that battles against politics and bureaucracy, essentially to help the victims and their families of 9/11. Tanner, what'd you think here? What'd you think of this movie?
Well, movie story wise is really interesting. All the stories from the victims' families, they were sad as hell and like chilling. Some of them were. I was really incredible. Michael Keaton's shift in character, total complete change towards the end. I felt that the whole way. But you know, I don't know. I think they could have done a whole lot more, or it's just like kind of just, it felt like it. It didn't really feel like it jumped around, but it did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the story was told well, but I don't know how to say it, you know, but I gave it a 3 out of 5 right in the middle. It's a good movie. Wasn't bad at all. I enjoyed it. I kind of hate to admit it, but I teared up at the end when they were like, when everyone was coming in, I was like, yes, like God, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he made himself out to be like, he didn't try to be, but he was a total ass at the beginning, like total ass. But then he completely flipped. And that scene when he flipped, I was like, oh, good. Okay. And then, yeah, that's what gave it the 3 out of 5. And it was pretty good. What about you, Matt? That's all I can say.
Yeah, kind of about the same, where it's like the arc was there, but I feel like they didn't necessarily show like the full sort of steps through it. Mm-hmm. It felt like all of a sudden at the end, he wants to, you know, help everybody. Yeah, sort of snap to it when he realized like, oh, I just don't have enough people to avoid, you know, collapsing the economy. And yeah, it just sort of didn't feel earned. I think everyone in there did a good job. I think it was, you know, a good story told well. I just think there were some missing pieces, and I think I think the performances were good. Michael Keaton, I think he did a good job, but I really connected with Stanley Tucci a little bit more. Yeah. I feel like that was kind of the emotional heart of the movie, and it had a big It's a Wonderful Life energy at the end when everybody was you know, trying to get their thing. So I definitely liked more than I didn't like about this movie. I think there were some decisions that could have been made differently to make it a little bit more effective for it. What about you, Logan? Oh, I gave it a 3 out of 5 as well.
Yeah, I landed at a 3 out of 5 as well. It kind of was one of those unfortunate situations, because like you almost see both sides. You're like, how can you say that this guy's life is worth more than another's? Whereas on the flip side, like, yeah, we can't afford to pay, you know, let's say they capped it off and said every victim was worth $10 million, just as a random number. Like, where would you get the money for that? Like, but at the same time, you can't say that just because, you know, Matt was a dishwasher that he deserves, or his family deserves, any less compensation money, or not even money. Like, that's one thing that I like that they kind of addressed throughout the movie, that like at one point he was like, oh, something about money. And one of the victim was like, you think this is about the money?
Yeah.
It's
wanted respect.
Yeah. They just wanted the respect, and they felt like it was just yet another government agency trying to step in and say, we can help, and
don't.
They make things worse.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I liked the arc, but like you guys said, I think it was like basically like someone punched him in the face and all of a sudden he was like, I'm going to help everybody.
Yeah.
And I did kind of, I don't want to say cry, but I did like kind of like get one of those happy, like a happy tear. I was like, yeah, like let's go. Like
me too. Yeah.
Honestly, the coolest part of the entire movie was the very end where they showed that organization supports the other like crazy terror attacks and stuff on U.S. soil. Like I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. I think that's something that is really cool. And it's, you know, a specific skill. So if someone has it, like, I'm glad it's being able to get used again to help more people after another, you know, other tragedies.
Yeah. It, like you guys said, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but essentially pretty well acted. Tanner, did you realize that the woman and Matt, I guess, did you guys realize the woman is Holly from The Office?
Immediately,
oh, that is like, Holly. Her.
Oh, yeah.
The whole movie, I was like, this woman is so familiar. But since she wasn't like being a comedian and her hair wasn't blonde like it was in The Office, I was like, man, But I think everybody acting did really well. I think Stanley Tucci kind of really stood out to me.
Yeah.
Oh, hell
kind
yeah,
of really did. Playing that part well of like, you are in the wrong here and we're going to sue.
Yeah. Right. And he the whole time he was just like, and like the whole movie also had me, like you said, in the two sides, Logan, like it kind of had me angry at the people, like, please listen at times. And I was like, I can't be mad at, like, I'd be so livid.
9/11 victims. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, yeah. They had me like angry at like listen to them like at the beginning, but then, you know, they had me flip. That was pretty good in the emotional side of the movie. Kind of had me up and down.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, I was going to say, I was curious. I haven't had the chance to like look this up to see if, you know, some of the because every testimony was, you know, there was a stenographer, like a recorder in there. I wonder if any of those were like actual, like firsthand accounts, like put into scenes. That'd be really cool. Or if sort of like the sort of highlighted special case of like the, you know, they were going to get their domestic partnership, or this guy had, he had his family and then he had his other family, and all the kids deserve deserve something. I wonder if those are, you know, anonymized, like actual cases that they dealt with. If so, I think that's really cool. And if not, like, I think it was, you know, they were effective, like story cases showing that like there are these really like weird fringe cases when you have this many people affected by something.
Yeah. And it made you feel bad, especially for that gay couple that he died and his parents didn't approve and said, screw you. Like, this money's going to go to us. If it goes to us, it's like, oh man, how do you serve those cases like that? Like,
right.
It's just tough. Well. And I thought the same thing, Matt, where you said like, if some of the stories, if those were actual like firsthand accounts, some of those extras that were acting did so well.
Shit.
I almost thought for a split second, I was like, what if they grabbed some families? But I don't think that they would do that. But
no.
But maybe they did have people tell their story and they used it as part of the film. Because some of those extras that came in and were venting to them, I was like, wow, these no-name, probably borderline extra actors came in and killed it.
Yeah. Wow.
And I kind of feel like the phone calls might have been real. Some of those, like the one, like he was like, hey, hun, you know, I sure you heard. And like, I almost feel like that was because there's a lot of screaming in the background and like it sounded choppy. And I don't know, maybe.
I really like it when movies like this sprinkle in like things like that, or like when someone turns a TV on, it's like an actual news broadcast from the time. Mm-hmm. I really like that when production companies do that.
We watched off nose, but we watched a Bombshell over the weekend. That's the one about like all the Me Too stuff at Fox News. And that was like all like real stuff that like I remember watching over the past, you know, few years.
Yeah.
I never seen that. I actually missed that one. Is it good?
It Bill is good. O'Reilly. It's Bill O'Reilly and like the sort of head of Fox. Oh, I can't think of the scumbag's name, but
I can picture him.
Yeah. It was really good. It was, you know, I hate the guy and I didn't even know his name before watching the movie. So pretty effective.
It is effective.
Damn. Yeah, not a bad flick if you've got the time, if you want to watch a movie that's kind of makes sense for the times, you know, with September 11th being last weekend, throw it on. It's not a happy movie by any means. Uh-uh. The only happy-ish moment is when, you know, inevitably in the end they win. Spoiler alert, but I mean, but no one really wins in this situation. It's kind of a Just the whole concept of a 9/11 movie is just kind of sad all around.
Yeah.
But sorry, I had to put you through that.
No, it was solid.
I'm glad
I watched it.
Me too.
Like I said, I wish there were some parts of it that were a little bit more complete, but I still think it was definitely worth watching.
I agree.
Yeah, for sure.
And it was a side that I have never seen also. The financial side, the compensation, I've never seen that before. So that was interesting.
That's a really good point too, because because you never think about that kind of stuff. Like, you never think like, oh my God, I wonder how much money like the government had to pay out the families to, you know, to help grieve and whatnot. But like, I want to know how much money it costed to like rebuild like New York City, like to clear the debris, like to, Oh, I just can't imagine. Still so sad.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, it's still ongoing because just like the lingering health effects from the cleanup crew, just all that dust.
Yes, yes. And they did say the thing at the end, right, where they said they're still trying to help families move on and whatnot. So,
because now there's like they having problem, like people who got injured and stuff are still having issues. Like, and it's like they need the money.
Yeah. It's on the chopping block like every year. And it's actually, of all people, John Stewart's like big campaign. Really? He'll like always go to Congress when I think it's like the 9/11 first responders, like medical coverage is like on the chopping block. You like, no, this isn't happening.
Yeah, that's not fair. That's not cool.
In this lifetime, at least.
No, jeez, I don't think that ever needs to be.
20 years ago.
Yeah, that's some crap. I didn't even know that that was something that is on the chopping block. It's pretty shitty.
Yeah. Well, on that great note.
But on that great note, we'll move it on and cap it off here this week with top five of our favorite Michael Keaton roles.
Yeah.
I love Michael Keaton.
This one, I don't know if this was an Oscar-winning performance, but like I think Michael Keaton did a pretty good job in Worth.
Yeah, it was like a serious acting performance, which I feel like he has a few, but not a ton. So just good that he can sort of still flex this muscle.
Yes, exactly.
True. His accent was very spot on.
Yeah, I loved it.
At first, I was worried. I was like, oh no, I wonder if his voice is going to annoy me. But over the course of the movie, I completely forgot about it.
Yep.
So
that's how. Yeah, good story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So top five Michael Keaton roles. You guys know how it works by now. Yeah.
Got to say something. I just realized when I was doing this list a little while ago, I have only seen a total of 6 Michael Keaton movies.
Ooh, what was on the
and Worth was one of them.
Was Worth left on the cutting room floor? No.
You know what's funny?
I like all the other ones.
Is Keaton is an actor that is so iconic for so many reasons, but when you go to his IMDb, there's not a lot there.
Oh, it's prison.
It's like deep, but not wide. Is the way I would say it.
But why is he so? I don't know what. Like, I don't get it. Like, I've known him for years. Like, and I've never watched any of his movies, though. I don't get it.
I think he's one of those actors that picks his roles very carefully.
Kind of like Leo.
Mm-hmm. Like, Leo's not in a ton of movies, but the ones he is in, or the ones that he.
Amazing.
Yeah. They're all pretty good. And most Michael Keaton movies are good, including the one that is my number 5, which isn't even really a Michael Keaton movie. It's a movie that Michael Keaton is in, and that is The Other Guys.
Aha!
I put this at number 5 just because it's not even really a Michael Keaton movie. Yep. However, I just think the concept of him playing a police chief, but on the weekends working at Bed Bath & Beyond is absolutely hysterical.
Yes.
And that's how they come and talk to him too in one of the scenes. They're like, oh, hey guys, hold on, I got a little meeting. And he's out there pep talking him like a cop.
Yeah,
he's like,
I love it.
He's like, we got a rape. I think it was like, we got a rape or a rapist on the loose and blah blah blah. And he's like, oh wait, other job.
Walking duos on your way.
Yeah,
home.
Walking duos. He goes,
about that.
And then when they go and visit him at Bed Bath & Beyond, they're like, we've been looking for it. And he's like, what? You want to check out the sale? And they're like, no. It's pretty good. Pretty good Michael Keaton stuff. So, Tanner, what you got at your number 5?
Number 5, I got Beetlejuice.
I have never seen Beetlejuice.
Me either.
What? Oh, okay. Well, Beetlejuice is good. That's all I could say. It's a great Halloween flick. Watch it next year. Or this year. Jesus. Oh, my God. Next month. Jesus.
Nearly spooky season.
Yeah, so he's pretty damn hilarious in that movie. So what about you, Mr. Matt?
I'm in. I do have an honorable mention because, again, it's sort of like a Michael Keaton adjacent role. Cars, him as the villain, Chick Hicks.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
He's pretty good. You don't – yeah, judging by Logan's face, he didn't realize that, and that just shows what a good role it was for him.
Oh, my God.
But my real number 5 is The Other Guys as well. I think everyone in that movie just like is just tuned to such a weird vibe, and Michael Keaton like picks it up just with the rest of them, and it's great. So Logan, what's your number 4?
My number 4 is a movie that I think he won an Academy Award for a few years ago, and that's Birdman. Birdman, man. It's a really interesting flick.
Yeah,
it's very weird. It's got an amazing cast. Edward Norton, Zach Galifianakis, I think, is in there. Emma Stone, I think, is in there. Very good movie. I can't even really tell you what it's about. You basically live in the head of this actor that got cast in a hit movie, Birdman, almost even parroting Batman.
Well, think about it. It's Keaton in the role. He's trying to move out of the shadow of playing an iconic superhero. So
true.
So it's almost like
also has Holly in The Office from it.
What was that?
Really?
Also has a Holly from The Office in it. Birdman.
Oh, okay.
I need to watch that.
Yeah, man. You should check it out. It's a very artistic movie. It's one of those movies that's filmed in one take.
Yep.
So, like, there's no scene cuts. Like, it's just one continuous camera movement. And, like when 1917? they cut to a different scene, to a different room, the camera just follows, like, somebody walking into another room.
Yeah.
Like 1917, that same style?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. Exactly. Okay. I like that a lot. That's cool.
So, it's pretty good. I recommend it. I have it, I think. I think I own it, so I might just give it to you and let you borrow it.
Oh, hell yeah. I'd definitely watch that.
Yeah, it's cool. Pretty cool movie. But other than that, Tanner, what you got at your number four?
I got him in Spider-Man Homecoming as the Vulture. Yeah, really,
I'll piggyback on that and say I do as well, to not waste time.
Yeah.
Cool. Am I number four?
But, yeah, he nails it. He does great as the Vulture. I mean, that was the scene that always catches me is the scene where Peter meets him right at the door of his date's house. That's just chilling as hell. It's a great scene.
Great scene too. And I also just like the I guess this isn't less about him, but just kind of like them bringing in a weird element. It's like, well, if there is all this alien technology just left over in New York, like, of course someone's going to do something with it. Yeah. So again, not Keaton specific, but he's the face of that whole thing. So
we'll probably see him again in Spider-Man 3.
Looks like
Let's go.
You know where else we're going to see him? Is I was checking it up on his IMDb, it said that he just finished wrapping up production on Mobius.
Okay.
Oh yeah, so no, he's like in a post credit scene.
That's the thought. I think I've also heard that he's uncredited to show up in Venom as well. We'll see. That's a light rumor on that one, but
he'll be in prison though.
Yeah. But either way, my number three is Spider-Man Homecoming.
Hey.
So I will just piggyback off of you guys and just say I'm excited for the future of Keaton in the MCU, and I'll leave it at that. And I'll throw in an honorable mention there, Cars, as well, because I completely forgot that Keaton was Chick Hicks. So, Tanner, ka-chow! What you got at number three?
Ka-chiga. I got the other guys for the number three, which we already... Cool. Touched on, but you know, I just have to say one thing about one scene. You know, the one when he gets them all to crowd around him, back up.
Yeah,
not a little, a couple more. No, wait, whoa, too close. That's the best scene. Anywho, what about
very
you?
Funny. My number three is Birdman. Again, just like a very serious role that he may or may not have won something for, but it was definitely an Oscar favorite the year it came out. And yeah, it's not a movie that's similar to one that I watch very often, but still really good. Really enjoyed it. My favorite scene from it is when he's just like walking around backstage and there's like the weird like all drumming soundtrack, and he just walks by a guy just playing the soundtrack on the drums. Super random. But so that is my number three. Logan, what is your runner up for Michael Keaton roles?
Runner up for Michael Keaton roles is Worth. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
It's not.
Oh.
It's actually The Founder.
Oh, I've been meaning to
watch
that.
Which is a very solid movie about the story of McDonald's. And Michael Keaton plays Roy Kroc, which is also kind of an asshole. And you kind of see how he basically took McDonald's idea and ran with it, and the two brothers that actually started McDonald's got little to no credit or money for the whole situation, and he kind of took it all. But a very good movie, and Michael Keaton plays it very well. So I recommend it to anyone who hasn't seen it. That's one that I don't own, but I want to own because that's a good movie.
Yeah. I hear
what's
it.
What's your runner-up?
I've got Batman Returns, the one where he fights the Penguin. Sure. It's a good one.
That's a good one.
I just that's where I know him best from, I'll be honest. From like when I was a kid, I watched those movies so many times. I still do once in a while. But that's all I can say. He's B-Man. What about you, Matt?
So mine is also – my number two is probably the movie that I've seen most often on my list. And it's not Batman. It is Mr. Mom.
Oh my God. Tanner might not even know what that is.
I don't even know what it is. No.
This came to my family through a Pizza Hut promotion. We got the DVD for it when we got some Pizza Hut off.
Yeah.
And my sister and I just wore this movie out. It's just a very silly, like, 80s comedy. He loses his job, so he has to stay home with his kids while his wife, like, re-enters the workforce. And he just goes insane. While also thinking that his wife is being stolen by her new boss. So it is very silly, but it's the one I know him best in. So it's just really funny to me. So yeah. But Logan, what is your number one?
My number one is Batman.
I'll take it.
The OG.
Yep, same.
Woo!
The OG. Hopefully seeing him, if the rumors are true, in I'm pretty sure he's pretty much confirmed it on a bunch of talk shows that he's in the movie, The Flash. But yeah, man, iconic. I almost turned it on HBO Max last night when I was doing some work on my computer. I almost threw it on just to have it on in the background, but it's iconic. He was the OG Batman. There's not much we could say today that hasn't been said about him already, but
right.
Just iconic as all get out. I assume it's you two as well. Yep.
Childhood right there.
Shout out.
It's the best Batman music too. That's the best soundtrack.
Yeah. That Danny Elfman is really, really good.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
My favorite scene is when the Joker pulls the comedically large gun out of his pants and uses that to take down the Batwing or the Nightwing, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that was funny.
Jack Nicholson. He holds it up like it's a sniper, and he takes the Batwing down.
With one shot.
You got to think the Joker is quite the marksman.
Right? With a comedically long gun.
He was a hitman before, kind of.
You got to think that that the bullet would get lodged somewhere in the barrel before making it all the way down.
Yeah, think that. But I guess that like funny. We'd have never danced with the devil in the pale moonlight. So,
let me tell you something. Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale? I love that shit. What a good movie.
That's funny. Well, that's a cap on Michael Keaton's top five roles.
Yeah.
And we don't have a major release this week. However, it is spooky season.
Okay.
And there was released a new movie this past weekend on HBO Max called Malignant. And it's directed by the man who directed the Conjuring movies. I've heard some pretty decent things about them, so I might check that out. So I might talk about that next week.
I'll watch it too because that looks really good.
Matt, I know you'll sit that one out.
Thank you.
But other than that, if something else drops that we completely forget about, we'll reconvene. But other than that, we might do a little spooky episode, maybe another top five next week. I'm trying to brainstorm another good one we could do.
Top five spookies.
Matt, I don't know if Matt will partake in that.
I couldn't do scary movies, but I could do like Halloween Town 1, Halloween Town 2, Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus, yes.
The Addams Family.
Dude, Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah, really. So, but we'll see. But until then, like I said at the top, follow us on Instagram for more updates like these. That was a fun episode.
That was a good one.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
I love talking Michael Keaton, I've realized.
Me too. Yeah. He's awesome. Except I haven't seen any of his freaking movies, I guess.
Neither have I. I completely forgot about Mr. Mom. Where can you find that? Do you know?
On my parents' DVD shelf. It's the only place I know.
I've got to hunt down Mr. Mom.
I didn't realize he was in Spotlight either. That is a must watch. I need
Ooh, I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess we'll be on the hunt for Mr. Mom. But until then, follow us on Instagram, tell a friend in need, and leave that rating on iTunes. We'll see you guys on Thursday for the 40-Year-Old Virgin starring me and Tanner.
Woo!
Bye.
See ya.
God, I had to pee.
Well, that was picked up in the audio. Thank you.